Hi, this is Mike, and you're listening to Faith Bible Church's Sunday Message. Thanks for joining us. Today, and I wanted to put it up earlier, but it just couldn't. We had too much going on with Thanksgiving. It's one of those situations, it's a pre-lit tree, and I put it up, and I plug it in, and like this tree, unlike this tree, actually, the bottom lights, none of them worked, and then none of the middle section worked. And so in those trees, you have to kind of go through every bulb. And so I found one that actually was the problem, and I replaced it. And the moment I replaced it, the lights came on, and boom, half of the lights burned out. And I'm so disappointed. So right now, I've had to take our tree and turn it so that the back is to the wall, and you can't tell that that particular section is out. Oh, praise God. You ever had an expectation that was met with something entirely unexpected? Like opening Christmas gifts, and you're thinking that you're going to get this great thing that you have on your Christmas list, only to find that it's something just totally out in left field. And I'm pretty sure that I gave my parents gifts just like that when I was a kid. All of us kids, when we were growing up, we would get just a little bit of money that we could buy Christmas gifts with. And I can remember buying cheap cologne for my dad. And not just one Christmas, but for several Christmases. And I'm thinking, what was I thinking? I mean, I don't think he ever wore the stuff. If there are any kids in here and you've already bought cologne for your dad, it's okay. I mean, he'll appreciate the thought, and I'm sure we will appreciate the smell the day after Christmas, the Sunday after Christmas. When we think back to the meaning of Christmas, the birth of the Messiah, I am sure people were expecting something entirely different than what they got in Jesus. Imagine their expectations when you read Isaiah 9. Let me read this for you. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Their hope was for a king who would overthrow the ruling regime and reign forever with peace and prosperity and safety. And for most of us, we know that's not what happened. Their expectations were not fulfilled. Or were they? As is often the case with God, reality doesn't always match our expectations. The truth is, they often exceed them, but we just don't realize it until much, much later. During this Advent season, we are going to talk about the way God brought hope and joy and love and peace and the Messiah to us in unexpected ways. Today, we're going to talk about unexpected hope. Have you ever had something exceed your hopes? This might sound a little rough, but I think more often than not for many people, reality often comes up short. We hope our jobs will go well, but no job lasts forever. We hope our health will remain strong, but debilitating illnesses strike many of us. We hope our kids will succeed in various areas of life, but they struggle significantly at times. We hope our marriages will flourish, but every day is a struggle for some. And I suspect that is the kind of hope the nation of Israel had hoped for when the Messiah would come. They had been oppressed for 400 years, for centuries, and they were ready for a change. They hoped for a change. And let's look at the kind of hope that God really offers us. And so I want to talk about three kinds of unexpected hope from Scripture this morning. And the first one is this: God offers us hope in this world. when the Bible speaks of the pinnacle of hope, the subject of hope, it is always found in the person of Jesus. The people of Israel had hope in the coming Messiah. They'd been oppressed, as I said, for last 400 years, and by the time Jesus came, they were looking for someone to set them free. So if you are them, what are you hoping for? And as I already said, they're hoping for a king, a strong warrior, who would take down the existing government and give Israel her independence to live and rule as in the days of King David. But what did they get? They got a man who rode in on a donkey. They got a man who would run from crowds to avoid too much attention. They got a man who didn't fight back, but instead suffered, took beatings, and then died on the cross. You want to talk about unfulfilled hope? This is it. And yet in all of this, they got a hope that they did not expect. They got a hope that met people on a personal level. Jesus came near to them. He walked in their shoes. He wasn't raised in privilege, but raised in poverty. He healed people, and not just some people, but everyone. He showed compassion. He spoke to people's hearts. He spoke real truth to the masses from the fishing boats and from hillsides. And they were hoping for a king that would lead them to the lead from the top down. But Jesus came in humility and led from the bottom up. He pushed the lowest people up, the shepherds, the children, the women. He touched them in a way I suspect was completely unexpected. Jesus brought hope for all people, Samaritans, Gentiles, Roman soldiers, tax collectors. He brought hope for everyone, face to face, just what each person needed. And that's the kind of hope God offers in Jesus. Do you have that hope in your life? Do you have hope that God cares about your struggles? Do you have hope that He knows what you're going through? And the answer is absolutely you do. We all do. We have that hope in Jesus. What does the Bible say who Jesus is? He says, "Behold, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. God came near. He broke down barriers and he entered people's lives, and I don't think that was at all what the people expected. I remember years ago, and I may have shared this story before, when Lee and I, we attended a Mariners group leaders event. And at that time, this is years ago, I used to organize FBC group events to the Mariners games. And to help keep that going, the Mariners organization had this meet and greet event with some of the players. And Lee and I got to sit down, just the two of us, with Dave Valley and Norm Charlton. And if you are familiar with the Mariners, you know who I'm talking about. Some of you may not have been born. That was a long time ago. And it was just like talking to these two normal guys. And I'm not kidding. It was like we'd known these guys for years. And we learned that, you know, Dave Valley was a strong Christian. He shared passionately about an organization that he and his wife had started to help finance, microfinance people in Haiti and in the Dominican Republic. And Charlton, you know, he was just this single guy who just seemed like he was living day to day. I felt like he was just out of college, you know, talking to some guy out of college, his whole life ahead of him. And it was really just a real surreal experience for us. And as strange as it may seem, because they were just so down to earth, we never asked for their autographs. We never took pictures with them because they had a way. They just tore away their celebrity image. And just asking for an autograph felt so unnatural after feeling like we were among friends. And all that to say that my impression greatly changed about them. Not that it was bad before, but I just felt like I knew them so much better than just their TV personalities. And in some ways, that's what God coming to earth and Jesus did for people. It made him relatable. It made him more tangible. It gave them hope. It made them hope something that could be experienced and something that could be experienced regardless of what was happening out there. They could experience hope right now. And I love that God isn't a distant hope. He is a hope that is near to us. He entered our world And who knows, and who he knows what it's like to be us. But of course, the people there, they, you know, back then, they saw Jesus face to face. He was there in person. Where's Jesus today? He's with the Father in heaven. So the hope that that they had may not seem like it's as present here today with us. But I think we have to remember two things here. Number one, Jesus sent his Holy Spirit so that every one of us, not just those who were in the presence of the physical Jesus, everyone can experience the nearness of God in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit dwells in those who put their faith in him. The second thing to remember is that we can experience this tangible hope in the body of Christ as we love one another, as we care for one another, encourage one another, bear one another's burdens. And in many ways, and Jesus said himself, it was better that he go away and be with the Father so that the Holy Spirit could come and minister in a way that Jesus couldn't, because Jesus couldn't be in more than one place at a time here on earth. So that's the second unexpected hope of the Messiah, this Holy Spirit that lives in us. He gives us hope that lives in us, in us. Jesus' hope was more than just fixing the physical life, like healing and feeding. He did those things, but he was more concerned about our spiritual lives, our inner beings. And I said that the hope of Jesus was bottom-up and not top-down. Likewise, Jesus' hope was not outside-in, but inside-out. His hope is a transformational hope. The scriptures say that God would write his law on our hearts. God was most interested in changing us, not necessarily the things around us. But that's not what the people had in mind. Remember, the Pharisees were criticized by Jesus for only focusing on the outward behavior and appearances. And remember, Jesus took the Mosaic law one step further and said, look, if you even have anger toward another person, it was tantamount to murder. Remember the Israelites. They were criticized by God through the prophets that he didn't want just mere lip service. God wasn't interested in changing things merely on the outside. It was the inside that needed work. And so he sent Jesus to change the inside. Jesus came to renew us by giving us a new life. The hope that Jesus offers is a change in our hearts. And that is still the hope he offers today. And it's a great hope, because sometimes, you know, we can feel like we are stuck being the kind of person we are. We try to change, we try to improve, but in the end, we find that it is exhausting and it's unattainable. And one of the reasons for that is because we may be trying to do it without God. God gives us the power to change for the better. And in the process, we learn that sometimes the better that we thought was better wasn't what God had in mind. And the things that may have once been important to us don't become as important anymore, like prosperity or popularity or worldly significance. Instead, we begin to transform, and we become more content with what God has provided. We become more confident in the person that he's making us to be. The hope in us is a transformational hope. We have a hope that won't leave us as we are. We have a hope that will renew us and make us more like Christ. Don't ever let anyone tell you, or don't even tell yourself, that as a follower of Christ that you cannot change. The truth is, you cannot not change as a child of God. If you are following him and you're obeying him and you're abiding and walking close to him, you will be transformed. And if you don't like who you are becoming, if you worry, if you are afraid, if you are losing your mind, you need only run to Jesus. And he will change those things in your life if you will trust him and stay close to him. That is a certain hope. That is not wishful thinking. We have a hope, the greatest hope of a new life, of a changed life, a better perspective on things in Jesus. We have the greatest hope of all living in us. Amen. And I know some of your stories. God has transformed you from the inside out. You know from personal experience that the hope of a changed heart is one of the biggest changes in your life. I think of Brandon's story. I don't think he's here today. Is Brandon here today? Great story, how God has turned his world upside down from where it used to be. And truth be told, his life circumstances didn't make his life easy. But it was God working inside of him that turned his life around. And he has been an inspiration to me personally, and certainly to his family. And I look at his Facebook posts, and what God started inside of him, it has impacted his situation in an incredibly beautiful way. His is a story that shows us that changing on the inside has a greater impact on the outside rather than the other way around. His life is so different than it was 15 years ago. He is blessed. We have all been blessed by how God's worked in him from the inside out. If you ever have a chance to talk to him, talk to him. I'm sure he will share his story of God's amazing grace and work and power in his life. It is inspiring. But you know what? That's all of our stories if you're a follower of Christ. Amen. As followers of Christ, we have all experienced some form of transformation that has led us to become more like the person that God wants us to be. That is the hope we have, that God will do a work in us to renew us and transform us into the likeness of Christ. So we can have hope in this world, we can have hope in us, but ultimately the scriptures talk about a hope that is beyond this life. God offers hope in eternity. We live in a fallen world, right? It is impossible in this current fallen state to experience life without struggles, without pain, without disappointment. But beyond this life is a perfect life. No pain, no struggles, no suffering. And that's the kind of life, and that's the hope that God offers us in Jesus. Paul writes in the book of Romans that if we have been saved in hope, that is to say, we have been saved for the hope that awaits us. He writes, For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, through perseverance we wait eagerly for it. And while we may experience some hope now, the greatest hope we have is what we do not yet see. And Paul says this is something that we are waiting eagerly for. And I think those of us who are suffering now, right now, you are no doubt eagerly waiting for that day. I was talking to Joe last Sunday. He usually sits up here in the front. And as many of you know, he has early Parkinson's. And there will come a day when the effects of that disease will make his life more and more difficult. Let's be there for him. Amen. If that day arrives. And I say if. Because as Joe was thinking about that day, he said to me, I'm praying for the rapture. And he was totally serious. And I would never want anyone to suffer. But if there is a silver lining in suffering, Joe has found it. His suffering has caused him to put his hope in what lies ahead. Joe is praying for the rapture. His mind is on heaven. And it reminds me of what Paul said in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. He says that we are able to look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. And I suspect we all could use a little more of that perspective in our lives. I love what Hebrews 6 says about the intersection of hope and current life in this world. He writes, therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. In other words, hope anchors us in the present and it propels us into eternity. And it's so easy for us to drift in this world. The world has a powerful influence on our thinking and our motivations and our priorities. And what prevents us from being tossed about from one thing to another is being anchored to our hope of heaven. And as we are anchored to this hope, it motivates us to persevere and endure in this life. That's what he is saying here. There is hope in this world. There is hope in us, and there is hope in eternity. But the question remains, how is this hope possible? And I said it before that the people were expecting the Messiah would save them physically, that he would defeat the ruling authorities and come to rule forever. But what they didn't expect was a king who would die a humiliating death on the cross, a king who would be resurrected 3 days later, a king who would ascend into heaven. That was not on their radar at all. And so Jesus dies, and his closest disciples, his friends, are huddled in a room together days after Jesus' death, and they're scared of being arrested. They don't know what to do. And imagine they are in shock at what has happened. What they didn't expect was that our salvation came at a very high price. Our sin prevented us from having eternal life, and the penalty for our sin was death, our own death. But instead of us dying for our own sins, Jesus died for them in our place to save us from our sins. Remember, that's what the angel said to Joseph. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, Joseph, in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Jesus' death is what gave us eternal life. It gives us eternal life. And that's what makes hope possible. But the death of Jesus to pay for our sins, that was not what people expected. The other thing that was completely unexpected was the scope of eternal life. They thought it was only for the people of Israel. But God had a much bigger plan in mind. He had salvation for the whole world in view. Remember in the Christmas story, shortly after Jesus is born, they go to take Jesus to be consecrated. And there's a man in the story named Simeon. And he is said to be moved by the Holy Spirit. And he says these things, these words in Luke 2. "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And that's what Paul writes in Romans when he quotes the prophet Isaiah. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will have hope. And of course, who can't forget John 3:16? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that everyone that believes in him may have eternal life. The scope of God's plan far exceeded what the people were expecting. And you can see why later on the Jewish leaders, they start to oppose Christianity and its proponents, because they were afraid, they were threatened that the exclusive privilege that they had with God would be taken away. So the people didn't expect the Messiah would have to die to give hope, the hope of eternal life. And they didn't expect the Messiah would open up salvation for the entire world. And yet here we are today, recipients of that hope, a hope that we didn't have without Christ. Ephesians 2 says, "Therefore remember that previously you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the people of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope without God in the world." And for us today, that hope is not as unexpected maybe as it was in Jesus' day or before. We know now more than they knew then. And yet, there are people in the world today who are not aware of this hope, the hope of eternal life, the hope that is in us, the hope that is available right now in Christ. And what that means is we need to share this hope with the world. And that happens both in word and in deed. When we are showing compassion and encouragement, we are showing the world that God cares for them. When we behave in a way that is patient and gentle and kind and loving, we are showing people the hope that is in us. Peter writes, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." The hope that lives in us should be a visible hope, one that causes people to ask, "What's going on with you?" The people in Jesus' day, they wanted a temple and a throne for a king. But Peter says, no, that throne and that temple is God in us made visible through our lives. Let me ask, is your life a beacon of hope to those around you? Do people wonder what makes you shine? You know what makes a person a beacon of hope? It's found in the beginning of this verse. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. It doesn't say in your behavior. He says in your hearts. It's the inside out thing. And if we will revere Christ as Lord, that means if we will honor and worship Christ as the Lord of everything, including ourselves, people will take notice. Picture kind of gave it away. I recently read this fascinating article on a plant that shows up in the scriptures 12 times to be exact. And it is the hyssop plant, known for its purple flowers. Kind of reminds me of lavender a little bit. And the first time the hyssop plant appears in the Bible is in the book of Exodus. And as you may recall, the people were in bondage in Egypt. And the first Passover took place when the people had to paint the blood of a sacrificial lamb on the doorposts of their homes in order to avoid the death plague. And the brush they used to paint the blood was very specific. It was a hyssop plant. And you fast forward a few years, and we find the Levitical instructions on how to cleanse those with leprosy. And they were cleansed with the hyssop plant, dipped in blood, the blood of a bird, and sprinkled on the person 7 times. And then in Psalm 51, David, after having committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then with the subsequent murder of her husband, he prays to God, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." And I see this interesting parallel with the hope we see in Scripture. In Leviticus, we see hyssop as the cleansing hope in the physical life. In David's psalm, we see hyssop as the cleansing hope in the heart. And in Exodus, we see hyssop as a foreshadowing of the cleansing hope of eternity. And I say foreshadowing because hyssop was used at the death of Jesus on the cross. And just before Jesus took his last breath, John records that Jesus says he is thirsty. And they give him a sponge soaked in wine vinegar, and they lift it to his lips. And to lift it to his lips, they put the sponge on a branch of a hyssop plant. And after he drank, Jesus said, "It is finished," and then he died. And so we see here the picture of hyssop involved in the cleansing hope of eternal life. And I mention this because, figuratively speaking, as followers of Christ, we have the opportunity and really the responsibility to be like a blossoming hyssop to those around us, offering hope, hope in hearts, hope in this life, hope for eternity. And my encouragement for us all is that we would all blossom with that hope that we have in Jesus. And the way we do that is by revering Christ as Lord in our hearts. We're going to take communion. And as we do, let's remember the hope that we have in Jesus. And the ultimate hope we have because Jesus died for our sins to give us eternal life. If you are a follower of Christ, I invite you to join us at this time of remembrance. Take time to reflect on the hope that God has given us through the painful sacrifice of Jesus for our sins. I'm going to invite the communion servers to come forward at this time, and as they do, I will pray. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that you give us in Christ. Thank you for the hope that you give us every day, that you are always with us, that you are always near, that you know what we're going through, you know our struggles, and you don't just leave us alone, but you come near to us, and you touch our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for the hope that you have given us in our hearts, that you are working in us. Lord, that we are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. And that we are not doing it on our own strength, but that you are working in us. And thank you for the hope that we have in eternity, that what awaits us is a life that we cannot fully understand or grasp, but we know that it is the ultimate in goodness. And we thank you that you have given us that through the sacrifice of Jesus and his resurrection. Thank you, Father, for your hope. I pray, Lord, that it will motivate us to live for you even more fully. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.